sure was totally unexpected. Manchester City's particularly, especially as I felt Sunderland were in a little bit of disarray beforehand, their manager hadn't covered himself in glory in terms of the pre-match build-up, talking about the gremlins and the problems at his club and whether he'd stay or not. Look, it may have been a bluff to try and fool Man City. I don't think so. But Manchester City didn't take advantage of that at all. They got their early goal, and I feared for my old club, Sunderland, at that point, but they just never kicked on, Man City. And delighted, as somebody who was close to Sunderland at one time, that they got the results. Should have nearly got the points. Very bad mistake at the end. But delighted to see Connor Wickham as well emerge. He kind of made big strides in becoming a man last night. He's known as this young player who a lot of money was paid for, but he maybe can come good now too. So it's not all doom and gloom for Sunderland, but for Manchester City, I couldn't believe it. And Everton, well, you know, they'll be kicking themselves too.
Just to stay on the City-Sunderland game, Pellegrini coming out afterwards and talking about how the squad hadn't recovered from events at Anfield on Sunday. Can you sympathise with that, or is that just looking for an excuse?
I suppose they didn't play as well as they could. I don't think they suddenly decided they didn't want to win the Barclays Premier League. So that, you know, there has to be something that wasn't quite right in the dressing room. It was a big shock to the system when they went 2-2 at Anfield for them not to go on and win and for them to go away and feel sorry for themselves. But to think that group of players that they've assembled would still be held back in a game against the bottom of the table because of it, there's no excuse. I you know, he shouldn't attempt to offer an excuse. He may be judgmental, or he may find other reasons. There may be injuries, there may have been different things, but to think that as a group they felt they couldn't come together and put enough into it to beat a team on the bottom of the table, well, you know, that was poor. And it's funny, you know, there's been a couple of pressurised moments for Manchester City, none more so I think than when Chelsea came to town and stoked them up, certainly off the field with Mourinho's comments in the media, got them all going. And I think Pellegrini was found wanting. I think over the course of the last few days, yes, his team were found wanting at Anfield, but for it to carry on and then to say that there's a valid reason for that they didn't have enough time or that the thing was too big at Anfield, you know, it doesn't really wash with me, that one.
Just before we talk about Everton, last night's game, it's like being torn between two lovers for you, I'd imagine.
No, not really. I kind of got my life back and I have my sort of global view of football again. True, when I was at Sunderland, nobody else in the world mattered, only Sunderland, especially in an administrative role, because it consumes you. And I don't miss that all-in consumption, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, fans, players, agents, media, banks, sponsors. The whole thing comes at you all the time, and I'm glad to be away from that. But also, the other side of that, I'm close to people who put everything into Sunderland in terms of work rate, effort, money, belief. And so, you know, I feel it for them when things go as bad as they have done this season. And Manchester City is a different club to when I was there, Damien. You know, they've kicked it into an unbelievable place with the amount of financial support that the club have got. I still feel they do a very good job at maintaining the old Man City way. And it's great to see all those old players around, Tony Book, Summerby, Joe Corrigan, all those players who turn up from game to game at the club. They've kept the club's spirit alive in certain respects. But for me, it's a totally different club. You know, I meant my boss at Sky will kill me. I meant to be neutral, but I would have been hoping for a Sunderland victory last night.
And then to go all the way back to the club that started it all off for you, from an Arsenal perspective, are they back in the driving seat now for the Champions League spot? Four games to go, a point clear of Everton, or can the blue side of Merseyside still dream?
What a boost to Arsenal's prospects last night was. I bet they couldn't believe the scores as much as any of the rest of us. They weren't as convincing the night before as perhaps the scoreline suggests, and beating West Ham 3-1. They got there. It was tricky. And for Everton to suddenly, I don't know, get the wobbles and panic over it was a big relief for Arsenal. And that'll give them a sort of psychological advantage as the next round of games come at the weekend. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting one, because Martinez hasn't managed in this kind of situation before. He's always been down at the bottom, firefighting, good cup run. Now he finds himself in a totally different space, and to lift them back after that now will be critical. And I'm very, very interested to see how this pans out over the next game or two.
But there's a very strong case to be put forward for Tony Pulis to be manager of the season.
It's unbelievable. When he went in there, a lot of people questioned, why would he do it? Does he love the game that much that he needs it? And I can distinctly remember his interview saying his missus has gone mad because he's taken the job. She thought she was going to get to see him for the first time in years, and he went into this. So obviously he was under pressure at home not to take it. But you know, I won't say miraculously, it hasn't been a miracle, but in football terms, it's been pretty extraordinary what he's brought to that. Because they were a team in disarray, a club in disarray, too many signings, a manager who, by his own admission, lost the plot, And we had a board who were as confused as them because they weren't used to this Premier League. And Tony Pulis comes in, picks a group out of the big, big squad of players, picks a group, decides to organise them, build the whole thing around them, instill confidence in them. Great, old-fashioned, hard work. And they bought into it, and just look at them now. It's superb.
Just before I let you go, and maybe away from the Premier League, Bale last night, so many questions have been asked about his move to Madrid and the price tag, and sure, he can't do anything to help that. What a goal to take some of the pressure off himself.
Unbelievable goal, and the man has just so much ability, it's frightening. And the difficulty it is, when you go to Real Madrid, or Barcelona, as one or two others have done in the past, every player has the ability you have. And to stand out, you really have to do things, you know, in a very special way. And of course, a young enough guy who's away from home, you could be expected to have an iffy season. And of course, the pressure of the price tag as well, you throw that in. But I think he's really coming to terms with it. And you could just tell from the reaction last night, the smile on his face, not only has he done that, he wants to do stuff like that time and time again. And aptitude and for being the best, you can talk about it, but very few people have the ability, first of all, but more so the drive to make that ability really work. And I look at him and I look at, you know, his will to win now and taking on that challenge. And he reminds me in some ways, you know, Suarez, look at the difficulty he was in and the hole he was in maybe this time last year when his British career looked in tatters in his Premier League career. He got himself back together. And I look at him, his desire to win every ball, his desire to impress people like Gareth Bale. We give out about the salaries players earn sometimes, but when you see guys like those two, at the top of their game, doing it at the very top stage, it's a joy to behold. And you know, I would hold Gareth Bale in the highest of company, despite that fee that he'd have to live up to.
Before I let you go, you're obviously away from sporting administration and the pressure that takes off you. Your golf handicap must be significantly changed, and I presume you'll be at every Tipperary hurling match over the course of the season.
Well, I'm a bit worried there won't be too many of them. That's the problem down there, that the emerging counties, Clare have done very well, Limerick aren't far away as well, and that's a big game to play Limerick, of course, as well in the first round. So there's a lot of great hurling to look forward to. There's a lot of football, Gaelic football as well, so I'm going to get back and see the Dubs a lot more. They're invincible almost at the moment, so really looking forward to that. Golf, no, not really. I also have a half of me in the real world, Damien. I have a company that I thought was a great idea in the middle of Ireland's worst recession in memory. To set up a company, but we're getting there. After a couple of years of hard work, that company is getting there too. So I'll have a bit more time for golf. I'm just no good at it anymore.
Well, come here, you're talking to your brother, so Niall, appreciate your time. Thanks for taking the call.
Good man. Thanks, Damien. Bye-bye.